Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. So today we're continuing our series called Excess Baggage, letting go of what God has never asked us to carry in the first place. And the idea behind this sermon series is really simple, but it's really deeply important. You see, many people genuinely love Jesus. They attend church, we worship, we serve, we give, we pray, and we try and follow God faithfully. But we still walk through life carrying things that Scripture tells us we should have released and let go. And they're not always obvious from the outside, but they are heavy on the inside. And they start to affect our peace, they affect our joy, they affect our confidence, they affect our relationships, and they affect our obedience to God. And Jesus never saved us so that we could keep dragging around the things that he's already carried for us. Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to lift burdens. He came to bring rest to weary souls. And today I want to look at one of the heaviest pieces of baggage that we can carry around with us. Fear. Fear. And the title of my message today is simply, Fear is Heavy Baggage. And I'm sure fear is something that every single one of us understands. Fear is heavy baggage because it does not just affect what we feel, it affects what we see in front of us. Fear changes the way that we look at God. Fear changes the way we look at ourselves. Fear changes the way that we look at people. And fear changes the way that we look at the future. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, and this is Paul writing to Timothy, he says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And I think that is really a powerful verse here that we're sharing this morning. Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a younger leader who seems to be under pressure. And Timothy might have been feeling intimidated. He might have felt inadequate. He might have felt overwhelmed by the responsibility of leading that church that lay before him. But Paul reminds him what God has already given him. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid. Paul says that God has given us power, love, and self-discipline. Power for what we cannot face in our own strength. Love that anchors us in the heart of the Father. Self-discipline, or a sound mind, that helps us think clearly when fear is trying to distort everything that we are seeing and thinking and believing. And that leads me to my first point this morning, and that is this, that fear distorts God's character. Fear distorts God's character. See, fear does not just speak about circumstances. Fear speaks about God. Fear whispers in our ear, "God has forgotten you." But faith says loudly, "God is with me." Fear whispers, "God cannot be trusted." But faith says, "God is faithful." Fear whispers, "God is distant." But faith tells us that God is near. Fear whispers in our ear, "God will not come through for you." But then our faith tells us that God has never failed. One of the most dangerous things about fear is that it does not simply describe a situation, but fear actually interprets a situation. That's why we have to bring fear into the presence of God. See, we don't pretend that fear's not there. We don't try and bury it. We don't try and dress it up in some sort of religious language. We do not shame ourselves for having fear in the first place. We just bring it to God. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And I love the honesty of that verse there. David is not saying, "Hey, I've never had fears in my life." David's saying, "I had fears, but I sought the Lord." That's what David's saying. That matters. See, faith is not pretending that you were never ever afraid in the first place. Faith is knowing where to go when that fear starts to rise within us. Faith is not denial. Faith is just direction. Faith says, I feel this fear, but hey, I'm taking it to God. I sought the Lord and he answered me. See, when we get fearful, fear wants us to withdraw. Fear wants us to isolate. Fear wants us to just spiral in our own thoughts over and over. Fear wants you to rehearse in your mind the worst possible outcome that can happen. Fear wants you to make those decisions from panic. But faith says, I will seek the Lord. I will pray, I will worship, I will open the word, I will remind my soul of what is true, and I will talk to someone who's wise and godly. I will not let fear become my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And the second thing that I see is that faith rests in God's presence and God's promises. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it's important, I think, to notice what God does not say in this verse. The answer to fear is not always an explanation. The answer to fear is the presence of God. Sometimes we want God to give us the full plan before we take the next step. Who's been there? Like, I'll go when God gives me the full plan. Until I get that full plan, I'm not going to take that step of obedience. We want to see the whole picture before we go. But let me tell you, God often, at least it has in my life, he's given me his presence in my life first before he ever gives me the full picture. And that can be difficult. Why? Because fear loves control. Fear says, if I can control everything in my life, then I'll be safe. That's what fear tells us. But faith says, even when I can't control anything, I'm still being held by God. That's faith. And there's a big difference between being in control and being held. Like, we were never ever created to be in control of everything. Newsflash, if you want to be in control of everything, then you're going to be disappointed. We were created to be held by the one who does control everything. Some of us are exhausted because we're trying to carry around with us responsibilities that belong to God. We are trying to predict the future. We're trying to manage everybody's opinion. We're trying to protect ourselves from every single disappointment that comes along. We're trying to control outcomes that were never actually in our hands anyway, yet we're still trying to control the outcome. Let me tell you, that is heavy baggage. Is anybody trying to do that? Is it just me? Am I the only honest person? There's maybe three people who are honest in this room. Like, every single person's there. We've all been there. We've tried to control outcomes that were never actually our responsibility to control. But God says to us, I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Let me tell you, that is not just motivational language for everybody to get excited. That's covenant language from God himself. That's what he's promised us. God's not given us a slogan. He's given us himself. That's what he's given us. And let me remind you, church, that faith is not just wishful thinking. Faith is not saying everything will work out exactly the way that I want. Faith is saying God is with me, God is for me, God is faithful, and God will give me what I need. That's faith. And there's a kind of faith that does not deny reality, but refuses to let reality have more authority than the word of God. Let me say that again so you can understand what I meant. See, there's a kind of faith, we can have a kind of faith that does not deny the reality round about us, but refuses to let that reality that's round about us have more authority in our life than the word of God. That's the kind of faith we need to have. Following Jesus does not mean that you will never ever face fear. It means that fear does not lead you. It means that fear does not have to define you. It means that fear does not have to decide your obedience. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is obedience in the presence of fear. That's what courage is. And then thirdly, courage is spiritual confidence, not human bravado. Sometimes I think we misunderstand what courage actually is. Sometimes we think that to be courageous, we need to be loud, we need to be fearless, we need to be bold in our personality, we need to be never ever nervous, never unsure, never shaken. I don't know anybody that can do all these things. But that's not biblical courage. Biblical courage is not pretending to be strong. Biblical courage is trusting the strength of God in our life. And it's possible to look confident on the outside, but be absolutely driven by fear on the inside. It's possible to sound bold and sound like you have it all together, but operate from insecurity on the inside. But let me tell you, spiritual courage is different. Spiritual courage is quiet strength. It's the settled confidence that we know that God is with us, that God has called us, and that God will help us. That is biblical courage, spiritual courage, knowing that God is with us, knowing that God has called us, and knowing that God will help us. And that kind of courage can be so gentle. It can be humble. It can be trembling but still obedient. It can be honest about our weaknesses, but we still step forward anyway, because God's called us and God is leading us and God is helping us, so we can still take that step forward. And that matters for us as individuals, but it also matters for us as a church. See, as we follow Jesus, as we serve, as we build, as we pray, as we give, as we lead, as we reach people, and we carry the gospel in our generation, we cannot be led by fear. Fear will always give us a reason to stay where we are. Fear will always give us a reason to delay that obedience to what God is calling us to do. Fear will always give us a reason just to play it small. Fear will always give us a reason just to protect ourselves instead of pouring ourselves out. But our faith says, Lord, if you're calling me, if you're calling us, then we'll trust you and we'll go. So what are some of the areas in life that I believe we're carrying fear with us around every day? What are some of those areas that I think we could be carrying fear around us every day? And I think some of us are carrying fear around our calling. God has been stirring something in your heart, but fear keeps you answering before faith gets a chance. See, our fear is saying to us, but you're not qualified. But our faith says, God equips those he calls. Our fear is saying to us, hey, you might fail. But our faith is telling us that obedience is way better and way more important than perfection. Which is good. Thank you, Jesus. Our fear will say to us, what will people think if I take that step of obedience to Jesus? We're fearful. But our faith tells us we should be living for the approval of God alone. Our fear says, hi, you've never done this before. What makes you think you can do it now? But our faith should be telling us, but God's gone before me, so I can go and I can do it. And I think some of us are carrying fear around our past, and Mikey touched upon it in communion. See, you're afraid that what happened behind you will always limit what God can do in your life ahead of you. You think you're still that same person who God found. The enemy still loves to whisper in your ear, God will never use you. You're still that person. You're still that whatever you were. Like, he calls you by that. You're still that addict. You're still that liar. You're still that bad person. That's who you are. That's what fear tells us. We get afraid because we think people will only ever see our mistakes. And you're afraid that you're already somehow disqualified. You're afraid that your story is too messy for God to use. And let me tell you, if that's you today, let me tell you, the gospel speaks a better word over your life. The gospel tells us that you're forgiven, that you're new, that your past is not in any chance more powerful than His grace working in your life. Like, every single time, your past does not define who you are in the future. Never. Never. Like, when people come into church and they give their life to Jesus, of course we want to know about their past because we're interested in helping them, but actually we're way more interested in the potential that's within them. Like, potential over past every single time. Every single time. See, God does not need a perfect past to create a powerful future for you. God is simply looking for surrendered hearts. And I think some of us are carrying fear around the future. You don't know what's ahead, and that starts to somehow unsettle you in your spirit because you're not too sure. And look, hey, it's easy to be fearful when you look at the state of the world today. It's easy to be fearful. Maybe there's decisions to make. Maybe there are some transitions coming. Maybe there are some family concerns that you can see on the horizons. Maybe there's things that you cannot fix. Maybe there's some unknowns that feel way too big. Then if that's you, then this scripture's for you. Isaiah 41:10 simply says, "So do not fear, for I am with you." See, God is not asking us to carry the whole future. He's just asking us to trust Him with today. Jesus taught us not to worry about tomorrow because each day has enough trouble of its own. And let me tell you, that is not an invitation from Jesus to be careless. It's simply an invitation to be free. To be free. See, we don't have grace today for every imagined problem for the next 10 years. We just don't. We have grace today for today. And when tomorrow comes, then the grace for tomorrow will meet us there. We can stop worrying and live fearful of the future. God's got every day covered. His mercies are new every morning, as we reminded of earlier. Every single day, there's enough grace for tomorrow. Like, how many times are we worried and worried and worried about a situation, only to find that when we come to the next day, all that worrying never produced anything, apart from a sleepless night. Never fixed anything. But there's enough grace for tomorrow. Tomorrow. Some of us are carrying fear around people. We touched upon this last week. We have that fear of being misunderstood, fear of disappointing others, fear of rejection, fear of conflict, fear of not being liked, fear of being criticized. And that kind of fear is absolutely exhausting because people are not strong enough to carry the weight of your identity. Only God can do that. See, when our identity is secure in Jesus, we are absolutely free to love people without being ruled by people. We can be kind to people without being controlled. We can listen without being enslaved. We can serve without losing ourselves. We can lead without needing everyone to agree with us. Fear of people is heavy baggage. Like if you're in church leadership and you're fearful of people, you'll never get anywhere because every decision you make, you'll have 50 people telling you it's the best decision ever and another 50 people telling you it's the worst decision ever. Like, that's just how it is. We cannot be ruled by people. The love of God is what sets us free. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." See, the more deeply we receive the love of God, the less room that fear has to dominate us on the inside. Fear always shrinks in an atmosphere of the Father's love. That means this is not just about trying harder to be brave, it's about being filled again with the Spirit of God. Paul says the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. This is a Holy Spirit issue. We need the power of the Spirit. Like, as Pentecostal people, we don't believe that courage comes from hype. Sorry, Roxy, I know you don't like that word. But as Pentecostal people, we don't believe that our power comes from hype. We believe that courage comes from the presence of God. See, when the early church faced threats, they didn't cower back being fearful, they just prayed. They didn't ask God to make everything comfortable. They asked God to enable them to speak his word with great boldness. I was like, come on. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Tell you, that is what we need. That is what we need. Not a church with no challenges, but a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Not people who never feel pressure, but people who know how to seek God when the pressure comes. Not Christians who never feel afraid, but Christians who know that fear is not their master. Let me tell you, there's a difference between fear as a feeling and fear as a ruler. You might feel fear, but you don't have to bow to that fear in your life. You might have experienced fear in your life, but you don't have to obey that fear. You might notice fear, but you do not have to build your life around that fear that comes into your life. Let me remind you today, Jesus is Lord, not fear. Yeah. Jesus is Lord. So the question comes though, how do we lay fear down when fear comes into our life? How do we lay it down? Let me give you a battle plan, some tactics that we can employ as individuals, as a church, to battle fear when it comes against us. So I would encourage you today, if you're facing or you feel fearful in a certain area, I would suggest that the first thing you need to do is name that fear. See, sometimes fear gains power in our life because we keep it really vague. We would say things like, I feel anxious, or I feel stressed, or I feel overwhelmed. And let me tell you, those words might be true, but sometimes we need to ask a deeper question beyond that. Like, what am I actually afraid of? What is it that's making me feel anxious? What is it that's making me feel stressed? What is it that's making me feel overwhelmed? We need to start asking ourselves, am I afraid of failing? Am I afraid of being rejected? Am I afraid of losing control? Am I afraid of not being enough? Am I afraid that somehow God will not come through for me? Am I afraid of being hurt again? We need to get beyond and deeper than that. I feel anxious, I feel overwhelmed, I feel out of control. We need to get to the root of what's causing that in your life. And we simply sometimes just pray like, oh, Jesus, take away my anxiousness. Get specific. Name it. Like, Jesus, I'm feeling anxious because I'm fearful of the future. Like, get specific, name it. And let me tell you, naming it is not agreeing with the fear, it's just simply bringing fear into the light so we know what we're dealing with. And let me tell you, things lose their power when they're brought into the presence of God. So if you're facing fear in your life, the first thing we need to do is name that fear. What is it? What is it that's making you anxious? What is it that's making you feel overwhelmed? What is it that's making you scared? Name it. Name it. Secondly, I would encourage you to challenge the lie that's coming. Challenge the lie. Ask yourself, what is this fear telling me about God? Is this fear that I'm experiencing telling me that God is absent? Is this fear that I'm experiencing telling me that God is angry? Is this fear telling me that somehow God is powerless in my situation? Is this fear telling me that somehow God's abandoned me? Is this fear telling me that I'm all alone? So ask yourself, what is this fear that I'm experiencing telling me about God? But don't just leave it there. You need to ask yourself the follow-up question. What does Scripture say? What does the Word of God say about this fear in my life? Because Scripture says and reminds us that God is with us, that God will strengthen us, that God will help us, that God will uphold us, that the Spirit gave me does not make me timid. When I seek the Lord, He answers me. Like, so you can challenge the lie. You don't have to believe the lie that's coming from that fear that tells you somehow God's abandoned you when the Word of God tells us God is with us. Let me tell you, you cannot always control the first thought that enters your mind, but you can control what you choose to feed on. You can either believe the lie and keep focusing on the lie, or you can get the word of God and see what that says about the very thing that you're experiencing, get some truth in the situation. Can I encourage us not to feed fear with endless imagination? Like, I'm really fearful, I'm scared, and we start thinking about all the possibilities. Have you ever been there that you thought about all the possibilities for hours and hours and hours, and then none of the possibilities actually happen? Yeah. And you realise you just wasted hours and hours of your time? You been there? Instead of that, why don't you feed your faith with the Word of God? What does the Bible say about this? What does God say about this? And then meditate on that. Think about the truth rather than the lie. Save yourself all that time worrying about nothing. So name the fear, challenge the lie that's coming because of that fear, and then thirdly, seek the Lord. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. So if you're feeling fearful, can I encourage you? Don't just think about your fear. Pray about it. Pray about it. Don't just talk to yourself about your fear. Talk to God about your fear. Don't just rehearse the problem over and over and over again, but actually worship God and hand it over to him. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do when you fear, when fear has been loud in your life, is simply to stop and just say, Lord, I need you. I need your peace. I need your wisdom. I need your courage. I need your presence in my life. And let me tell you, there is absolutely no shame in that. I would argue that that's not weakness in your life. That's dependence upon God. Dependence on God is not a problem in the Christian life. That should be the Christian life. Dependence upon God. So name the fear. Challenge the lie that the fear is telling you. Seek the Lord. And then fourthly, and really importantly, you need to take the next obedient step. Fear often wants the whole staircase lit up before we even move. But faith often takes the next step with just enough light for that step that lies ahead. You might not know everything. You might not feel completely ready. You might still feel nervous. But can I encourage you, just take the obedient step. Make the call. Have the conversation. Apply for the opportunity. Start serving. Come forward for prayer. Forgive. Set the boundary. Say yes to God. And can I encourage you, say no to what is unhealthy. Open your Bible again. Come back to church. Join a life group. Share your testimony. Invite that person. Do the next thing that God is asking you to do. Why? Because our courage grows through our obedience to God. Like if God is calling you to go and speak to someone about Jesus and you're scared and you go through that process and you actually think about what the fear is, like you're naming that fear, I'm scared, I'm fearful of a person, that you're challenged to the lie that the enemy's telling you that you'll never be able to share your faith with somebody else. You're challenging that lie. You're seeking God and asking him, is this what you really want me to do? And he's saying, yes, go. And you take that next obedient step and you actually go and speak to them. Then once you've done it once, it's much easier the second time. It's even easier the third time. Next thing you know, you'll be standing up on the platform preaching about Jesus. Like, courage grows through our obedience. Sometimes, though, we want to feel courageous in ourselves before we obey. But courage often comes when we obey. See, when David faced Goliath, he did not become courageous by standing at a distance, imagining the battle forever in his head. He didn't stand there for ages thinking about the different opportunities and different possibilities. He didn't stand there saying, God, make me courageous before I go and do this. He just stepped forward, trusting the God who had been faithful before in his life. Faith always remembers the faithfulness of God. And there's another key, I think, to laying down fear, and that is remembering what God has already done. Let me tell you, fear always has a short memory, but faith remembers. Faith remembers the prayers that God answered. Faith remembers the doors that God opened for you. Faith remembers the grace that carried you through that situation. Faith remembers the times that you thought you would not make it, but God brought you through. Faith remembers the cross. If you ever doubt the character of Jesus, the character of God, just look at Jesus. Look at the cross. The cross tells us that God is not distant. The cross tells us that God is not indifferent. The cross tells us that God has come near. The cross tells us that God has carried what we could never ever carry on our own. The resurrection tells us that fear does not get the final word in our life. Death does not get the final word. Darkness does not get the final word. Jesus gets the final word. That is why we could travel lighter. We're not laying down fear because life is always easy. We're laying down fear because Jesus is alive. We're laying down fear because the Spirit of God lives in us. We're laying down fear because the Father holds us. And we're laying down fear because the promises of God are way stronger than the threats of fear. And if you don't know what the promises of God are, it's so vital. Get that Bible open. Get reading. Get meditating. Get thinking and praying over it. It's the best tool we've ever had is the Word of God. Jesus used it when the devil tempted him in the wilderness. He just replied by saying, the Word of God, the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Maybe today, though, you realize that fear has been heavier than you thought in your life. Maybe fear has shaped your decisions. Maybe fear has silenced your voice. Maybe fear has stolen your peace. Maybe fear has stopped you from stepping into something that God has placed within you. Maybe fear has affected your relationships. Maybe fear has distorted how you see God in your life. The good news today is that Jesus invites you to lay it down. Not to deny it, not to pretend, not to perform, but just to bring it to him. Imagine walking through an airport with a suitcase full of things that you do not need. You're dragging it around, you're lifting it off, you're pulling it, you're struggling with it, you're tripping over it. And when you get to that check-in desk, you're paying for it. That's not going to happen to us tomorrow. I've been weighing the cases. Then someone says to you, hey, you don't need to carry that anymore. Let me take it. You don't need it. Why are you even bothering with it? Why are you lugging it about with you? That's the invitation of Jesus. Some of us have been carrying fear for so long that it just feels normal in our life. But let me tell you, it might feel normal, but it's not freedom. Jesus has more for you than just simply managing fear in your life. He wants to lead you into peace. He wants to teach you trust. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to give you courage that is deeper than personality. He wants to give you confidence that is rooted in his presence. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. He gives power, he gives love, he gives us self-discipline. So can I encourage you today to let your faith rise again if you've been fearful? Let that faith rise again. Not faith in yourself to somehow get through the challenges, to somehow overcome the fear, but faith in God. Faith in his presence. Faith in his promises. Faith in his power. Faith in his goodness, faith in his faithfulness, faith in his ability to hold you, to strengthen you, to help you, and to uphold you. Let me remind you that fear always says you're on your own. But God says to you today, I am with you. Fear says you cannot handle it. I cannot handle it. I cannot handle it. But God says to you today, I will strengthen you. Fear says no one will help you. You're on your own, Jack. Just get on with it. But God says, I'll help you. Fear says to us, you're going to fall. But God says to us, I will uphold you. Fear says this is too much. But Jesus says to us, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That is the invitation. Bring on the fear, bring on the worry, bring on the uncertainty, bring on the pressure, bring on the thing that you've been carrying quietly, bring on the thing that keeps you awake at night, bring in the thing that makes your stomach tighten when you come and face it, bring in the thing that you have not even known how to say out loud to another person. Let me remind you today that he's not embarrassed by your fear. He's not frustrated by your weakness. He's not distant from your struggles. He's near, he's kind, he's strong, he is faithful. He is with you. Today, fear can be replaced with faith. Not because you suddenly become fearless, but because you become more aware of the one who is with you. Let me tell you, that is freedom. That is traveling lighter. That is laying down what God never ever asked you to carry on your own. And the band can come and the prayer team can come. Why don't we all stand together? So stand with me if you're able to stand today. Maybe today you need to respond personally. Maybe you love Jesus, but fear has become heavy baggage in your life. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I've been listening to fear far more than I've been resting on your promises. Maybe you need to say, Lord, fill me again with your spirit. Give me power, love, and a sound mind. And if that's you today, if you want any of these things, nobody is looking, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If that's you today, I want to invite you just where you are, just to open your hands. Open up your hands. Open up your hands before God in this place today. This is not about hype. It's not about pretending. This is just a simple act of surrender in our lives. If that's you today, if you want to open up your hands, if you feel comfortable, just repeat after me. Open your hands and just say, Lord, I release what I was never meant to carry. With hands open, just say, Lord, I want to receive what only you can give. Holy Spirit, will you just come? You don't have to repeat this, but Holy Spirit, come. I just want to pray over the church today. Holy Spirit, come and move over this room. Holy Spirit, move over those people who are watching online. Where fear has distorted our view of the Father, Holy Spirit, will you just reveal his goodness to us again? Where fear has stolen our peace, I just want to pray, Holy Spirit, you'll just release the peace of Jesus right across this room. Where fear has silenced our obedience, Holy Spirit, will you just come and awaken courage again in our lives? Holy Spirit, where fear has made people feel alone, will you just come and remind and speak to their spirits today? Remind them that you are with them. Holy Spirit, where fear has gripped minds and hearts, I just pray that you'll be bringing freedom in Jesus' name today. Lord, we thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you've given us power, you've given us love, and you have given us a sound mind. Father, we receive that today. We lay down our fear at your feet today. We pick up faith. Father, we choose to trust your presence with us. Father, we choose to stand upon your promises. Father, we choose to take that next step of obedience. Holy Spirit, just come and work and move in this room. Amen. Father, we thank you that the word of God will bring truth that will set us free. So Holy Spirit, just pray in this moment that you're just helping people to lay down that fear, lay down that heavy baggage, leave it at your feet, to walk lighter, to walk in freedom. You've given us power, you've given us love, and you've given us a sound mind. And Father, we pray that we will receive that today, that we will lay down our fear, that we'll pick up our faith, and we'll choose to trust your presence. We'll choose to stand on your promises today, and we'll choose to take that next step of obedience in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The band are going to lead us in a song.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.